Hello and welcome. It's Pastor Jeff here. We're taking our survey through Genesis, and where we've been speaking about this in terms of Jacob finding himself in between a rock and a hard place. And so we know that after Jacob and Laban's covenant, where they heaped up the rocks, signifying that this was the place of no going back, right? So we see that Jacob now heads back home, where a confrontation with Esau is imminent. And speaking of the rocks, we see that we are reminded of the pillar that Jacob set up after his dream of the ladder. And we know that what this signifies is Jacob has recognized the Lord in his life. And then we see that from this point on, actually through the whole story, that God is now working to refine Jacob. And now we see that God has met Jacob where he was at, but he didn't leave him there. And that's what this story is telling us throughout this whole story, is that even though Jacob did acknowledge God for who he was at his place of the dream, God's now working in Jacob's life to grow him. And so this is a growth process for Jacob, and it's including these trials and testings, and it's all of this is giving Jacob an opportunity to exercise his faith. So in today's chapter, which is chapter 32, and as always, I recommend you read ahead so that we're on the same page, as it were, as we talk through this, because we won't do chapter by or verse by verse. So today's chapter. Jacob is on his journey back to his homeland, and Esau is there, and you know, the last that Jacob knew, this was a legitimate fear for his life in returning because of the things that happened to Esau. And this is with the prompting and provision of the Lord, right? So we see Jacob traveling back, and as he begins, he's visited by the angels of God in the first verse here. And we're not exactly sure why this visitation happened, but you can imagine that Jacob needed some level of comfort and encouragement. And in this, we see that God is faithful to provide both. And so at verse 7, so Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him. And that verse goes on. But we see here that Jacob is greatly afraid and distressed. And so the angels of God come to meet with him, and we can presume for encouragement and comfort, as we know that that God has called Jacob to go back into his homeland. And as Jacob and his clan get closer to home, Jacob sends messengers to meet Esau, and he gives them a message using language that positions himself lower than Esau. And we see this in verse 4. Speaking of the messengers, and he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says." So in these words, he's positioning himself lower, putting Esau as the master and himself as the servant, hoping to gain some kind of favor here. So, of course, that makes sense, you know, because we see that, you know, we know that Jacob fears Esau's wrath, and quite rightly, you know, for cheating him out of the firstborn position with the red stew, and then later using deception to gain the patriarchal blessing. So now we find Jacob is firmly between this heap of rocks that he left with Laban, and he's heading into this hard place of this confrontation with Esau. And so the stakes are high, you know, because it's not just Jacob, it's his wives and his sons and daughters and the people that are with him. And so there's a lot at risk if he's no longer able to provide for them. So they too are exposed and are at risk of loss if things don't go well. And so, again, the stakes are high. And Jacob, he recognizes God throughout this whole story, the whole story of Jacob kind of slowly recognizing God first, you know, in one way and then another. But in this part of the story, even though he recognizes God, he's still trying to please and appease Esau in his own strength, of his own means. And we see that in verses 9 through 13. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. So he's recalling and remembering the promises of God in his life, even calling out to him to save him. And then he goes about separating and sending to Esau these gifts as appeasement. And in my version, it says, he said, drove after drove. So about four waves of these groups of animals that he's sending to them. And with each one, he's telling the servants that are driving these animals to send messages to Esau in an effort to appease him so that he doesn't exact revenge and murder him and his family. And so that's the whole point here, is still being driven by fear rather than this faith in the Lord. And so while all this is going on, Jacob also makes provision for his family. So he's sending flocks to appease Esau, but he's also separating out his family in case the attack from Esau comes, that he might provide some measure of protection for his family. And it's at this moment that he finds himself alone. He sent kind of everything out. He sent his flocks and his herds out to appease Esau, and his family he's separated too, and so he finds himself there alone. And it's then that the wrestling with the Lord takes place, and we see that in verse 27. Through 30. So he said to him, so he's wrestled with the Lord here, and he's contended with the Lord, and this is the end of it. So we'll get verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that it did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then it continues. The Lord says, What is your name? And he responded, Jacob. And he said, Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, Tell me your name, I pray. And he said, Why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Face to face, and my life is preserved. So in this moment, we see this wrestling and this blessing as well. And so it may be that God is leading you, just as he is leading Jacob here, to become, and I've said this before, but we need to consider it, maybe God is leading you to that place that feels like it's between a rock and a hard place, and he's doing so to bless you. It's often that way with the Lord, that once you commit to him, there's no going back, and that's a good thing. Despite the trials, and in fact in the trials, God uses those to refine us, and that brings us closer to him, even in this experience here of feeling alone, because we know that's only a feeling, that God is there with us. And as we come away from that with a tangible and real sense of God's goodness and presence, then it's worth it. And so that's the story here that we see today. So God meets us where we're at, but he loves us far too much to leave us there. He wants to refine us and grow us. And so until next time, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.